Brother, that sister is praying to you in Jesus' name and God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus, crucified and risen in Christ.
Amen.
You know, it was to the shepherds that the angels first announced the incarnation. Jesus being coming into the world, God himself being made flesh coming into the world. It was the shepherds who first announced this good news to us. So it only seems right that Jesus would one day call himself the Good Shepherd, who has come with good news for all of humankind. Jesus has come as our Good Shepherd. Now the reason I think this is really good news for us, and is an important thing for us to talk about, is that there are a lot of people who think that God is distant, that God is uninterested, disinterested in us. But what we find in the scriptures is the opposite of that. That God is a person, therefore God wants a personal relationship with each and every one of us. That's what he has come here to tell us. And so if that be the case, then the essence of Christianity really isn't so much what can we believe, but who it is that we belong to. Because we are in relationship with the shepherd. Now it's interesting that Jesus would use this language in talking about God's relationship with the human race. That God is shepherd and that we are sheep. It's a very interesting image that he uses. There's a lot of mention of animals in the Bible. And if you just do a little survey through the Bible, it's kind of interesting to see how many different times the Bible refers to animals. For example, cattle are referred to 131 times. Dogs, 41 times. Eagles, 26 times. You know how many times cats are referred to in the Bible? Just by the way. Zero. You can check that out. You can check that out. Okay? When it comes to cats, God knows you made a mistake. God regrets cats. Put it down there. Put it down. You know how many times sheep and shepherds are referred to in the Bible? 500 times. 500 times. Because there's something about the relationship between a shepherd and sheep that is so akin to God's relationship with us. You see, there are a lot of wild animals in the world, and even referred to in the Bible. There are wild boars. There's wild horses. There's wild dogs. But you never see a wild sheep. Because sheep cannot live independently. They cannot live in the wild by themselves. They are a dependent creature. And the reason is this. Sheep are prone to making bad choices. But just talk. They're prone to making bad choices, and these bad choices get them into a place in life where their own safety and security and viability is at risk. They can't live by themselves. Sheep by nature need a shepherd. They need Daddy. Someone to guide them. We're a lot like that. Isaiah says, we, like sheep, have all gone astray, each going our own way. We're a lot like sheep. We're lifeless. In eastern Turkey, a number of years ago, there was a group of sheep, a band of sheep, I think that's what they're called, a band of sheep that were without a shepherd. And the lead sheep went off a cliff. You know what each sheep did after that? Well, you would think that at a certain point, a sheep would say, gosh, a lot of sheep are going that way. Never coming back. Maybe I need to sit back and reflect on whether this is a good life choice for me or not. But she went out kind of reflected that way. One sheep says, gosh, Pete went over the cliff. Sally went over the cliff. I guess it's not a bad idea. Sheep are that way. They would just follow who they were. We're like that. We're like that. I guess others are getting enslaved to their work. Others are becoming workaholics. Others are getting into the idea that it really matters what other people think of me. Other people do that. Other people give into all kinds of temptations that lead them to dead ends. Other people give into addictions that rob them of life. I guess I'll go over the So we're told in the Bible that when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Because he saw people neglecting God, neglecting the things that are important in life, making choices that were not leading them to life but were leading them to death, and he knew that they needed a shepherd. We all need a shepherd. Now that might hurt our ego a little bit, right? Because we like to think of ourselves as wild and independent. We don't need anyone telling us what to do or think or how to be. I'm our own person. But by nature, we can't be. We're always going to follow something, some creed, something that's going to lead us somewhere. And we have to be very careful in the choosing of our shepherds. Because you see, a shepherd is whatever or whomever you are going to entrust yourself to lead you, to guide you, to care for you, to be with you, to support you. That's going to be your shepherd. My job is my shepherd. My 401k is my shepherd. My investments are my shepherd. My retirement is my shepherd. My wealth is my shepherd. What other people think of me is my shepherd. My success in this world is my shepherd. A relationship, an addiction, right? These are our shepherds. But we have to think to ourselves, people, the day will come when you and I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We all will. You have to understand, it's important to consider what shepherd you're going to be relying on in that valley. Because your job, your money, and your success cannot shepherd you there. It cannot. So this is good news to you. Some good news. And that is that Jesus is here today saying, I want to be your good shepherd. I want to be your good shepherd. He says, I am a good shepherd. Have you heard that phrase, good shepherd? Hospital, right? Nursing homes, churches. Name, good shepherd. This is where it comes from. The good shepherd is one who is saying, I want to lead you. I want to guide you. I want to make your life count for something. I want to be there to offer you safety. I'm the one who wants to do that. Now, this doesn't mean that if you're a good shepherd, that bad things aren't going to happen to us. But what it does mean is that no matter what happens to you, you will not go and go through that alone. Because you've got one who's promised to be with you, even in the valley of the shadow of death. The shepherd does that. And Jesus is real. And Jesus wants to offer you that shepherding presence in your life. And he talks about this in a very personal way. Jesus says this, the sheep listen to the shepherd's voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own out, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. See, just like sheep know and trust and follow the voice of their shepherd, Jesus is saying that you can know and trust and follow the voice of Jesus. You can have that kind of relationship. How? Well, if you didn't read the Bible, you've got them on your shelf at home. You all do. Are they collecting dust? Open them. And you're going to find that this Jesus is all over the pages. And you're going to learn things about his nature, his character, the ways in which he acts that are going to blow your mind apart. And if you begin to do some of what Jesus has called you to do, you're going to begin to hear the shepherd's voice. If you pray, pray to him not just in church, not just using the words of the Lord's Prayer, but pray to him every day, asking him for help, seeking him for guidance. If you go to him and say, look, I surrender my will. Thy will be done. If you begin to discern what that is, and you begin to live into that, you will hear the shepherd's voice. And when you do something wrong, and you will, we all do, don't get caught up in it. Simply acknowledge it. Freely offer it up to God. Acknowledge and confess what you've done. Freely experience the forgiveness that he wants to pour into your life. And then pray, Lord, I pray that I might make amends for what I have done to anybody that I have hurt. And then you go and make amends to a wonderful person. You've got to begin to hear the shepherd's voice. But see, it's better than that. Not only does Jesus talk here about knowing the shepherd's voice, he wants us to know the shepherd's love. Did you hear what he said? He said, the good shepherd calls his sheep by name. By name. Can you imagine? You remember a couple weeks ago, Easter Sunday, Mary is in the garden. Doesn't recognize this man that she mistakes as the gardener. And suddenly says what? Her name, Mary. It was then that she heard her shepherd's voice. Peter is on the shore, and he's not knowing what to do because he's denied Jesus three times. Jesus comes and says, Peter, you're loved. He heard the shepherd's voice. As you know, we were gone last week, and thank you, Alan, for covering the services. Appreciate that. Terry as well. It was awesome. We took our dog to the beach, and we got a 5-month-old dog. And that dog got to run. Crazy wild. On a wide open beach with nobody else there because there was not very good weather. Nobody else wanted to be there, but we were there. Do you think that when we wanted our dog to come back to us, we said, hey, you! Hey, dog! No, he said, hey. Hey, Eddie! And he heard his name. And he got one. But that's what he was there. He heard his name. He learned. He's a puppy. Sometimes he hears it and responds, right? There's something about a name. Because a name says God knows you individually. The Bible says that God so loved the world. But it's better than that. Not only does God so love the world, and he does, but God also loves Sherry. God also loves Terry. God also loves Bill. God also loves Alan. For God so loved Bob. For God so loved Bill. For God so loved Terry. Everyone is his individual. God loves you individually, your body, your personality, whether you're an introvert or extrovert, whether you're a thinker or a feeler, right? Whether you're impulsive or you make lists, right? He loves you whether you're anxious or depressed, whether you're divorced or filled with doubts. He loves you. And here's the thing, God is not distant from you, nor is God somehow not caring about you and feeling rather neutral about you. God is so invested in you because he made you. Have you ever noticed this? That if you make something, you have a particular relationship with that thing that you made? Years ago, when my kids were small, we got a table from IKEA. And I was so proud. I made this table all by myself. I put all the screws together. I got it. I figured out. We love that table. I should say, I love that table. It was a great table. We had our meals at that table. The kids did their coloring at that table. I took a picture of that table. I put it on our refrigerator. I love that table. We used that table for weeks. I love that table. God loves you so much that your picture is on his refrigerator. How much does God love you? This much. Jesus says that as the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. That says something about the extent of his love for you. He does that because he is giving his life to you. There's a divine exchange taking place on that cross. He is giving his life, his blessedness, his innocence, his purity is now coming upon you. That's why he's doing this. So that you might have his life. Know that your sins are forgiven. That you might know that each and every day you have a fresh, brand new start. Everything in the past is gone. It's as far from you as the east is from the west. It is gone. Paul said that he used to close the gate behind him. The straightforward door was lying ahead. You have a fresh start each and every day. More than that, you have a hope of eternal life that sustains you. Important. You know that. But here's the deal. And this happens always in church. Is that there are people that come to church who are not particularly religious. And that's correct. And some of you may not be particularly religious, or you might be praying for some loved ones who are not particularly religious. I just want you to know this. God loves you and them
too. In fact, if you look at Jesus' life, I can make the case that Jesus especially loves those who are not so religious. When Jesus was talking about himself as a good shepherd, this is what he said. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Maybe you're one of those sheep, or you know someone who's one of those sheep, who says, you know, I've been to church before. I'd say don't really like it. Kind of like, not my thing. You know, I'm a sheepfold. I don't really like that pen. That pen smells a little bit. Right? Whatever. I have a confession to make. I think I don't like the church either. And I work at one. Right? I mean, come on, let's be honest here. Let's be honest. Well, there's good news. Jesus loves those who don't want to necessarily be a part of this, because he says he's got other sheep besides those who are religious. Because you see, it was the Jews who thought they were the sheep. They were the ones. They were the chosen people. They had the shepherd. And Jesus says, yeah, you do, but I've got other sheep. I've got Gentiles. I've got sinners. I've got atheists. I've got messed up people. I've got outsiders, rebels, scoffers, and mockers. I've got others as well. You know, this Jesus is such a compelling, compelling person. You know, every time I preach this text, and, you know, Good Shepherd Sunday happens every year, so this has been a text, a theme that comes up every year. I preach this as a sermon of comfort. Because it's great comfort in this, isn't it? It's comforting to know we have one who wants to lead us and guide us, who knows our name, who knows us individually. There's great comfort in knowing that no matter what we go through, we don't go through it alone. There's great comfort in knowing that even if we go through the valley of the shadow of death, that we have our good shepherd leading and guiding us. It is a word of comfort. But today, I want to offer this sermon as also a sermon of challenge. Will you today make Jesus your good shepherd? Now you might be saying, well, Pastor, I've been a Christian longer than you have. He's been my good shepherd all along. Do you hear his voice? Can you hear the voice of your shepherd? Can you hear him when he calls you by name and thus experience his love for you down to the very depths of your inner soul? Can you? Do you follow him in the path of righteousness for his name's sake? Are you convinced to the core of your being that when you walk through that valley of the shadow of death that you will not go alone? And because you believe that, you have no fear of death at all? If not, I invite you today to make him your good shepherd. He wants to be your good shepherd. How do you do that? How do you make him your good shepherd? First of all, ask him to be in charge of your life. Secondly, confess anything to him that needs confessing. There's no shame. There's no embarrassment. He knows it already. Confess it. Let him know it. Then tell him that it is from this point on your intention to come under his care. Start talking to him every day. Be in conversation with your shepherd. And finally, stay close to his little flock. Stay close to his little flock. And if you do this, you make him your shepherd. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you shall dwell in the house of the Lord. That's what it means.